If you have your Bible tonight, if you'll turn to Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13, if you will, please, praise God. Well, this is an exciting time. It's a new year. It's a new season in my own life. This is a brand new season. I'm getting married on Friday. Glory to God. I'm so excited about that. And we've had so many well wishes, and we thank you all. And this is like a, it's a day that, this is a week that I have imagined for a long time, and it's like a dream come true. So we are both so very grateful to God for his goodness. You have your Bible. Go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to start reading at verse 25. We're in Numbers 13 tonight, starting at verse 25, if you will. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Numbers 13, 25. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of the 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in this land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Mosquitobites." I always say that. "The Amorites are living in the hill country. The Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan." And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." And so they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. And there also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 now. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 10. If we could see this one, could you give me 2 Corinthians 10 in the King James Version? I've got New American Standard with me tonight, but if you have King James for 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10, 4. Praise God. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the destruction of fortresses." And then verse 5, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing," that's New American Standard, "raised up against the knowledge of God." The Bible says, "casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ." You say, "Why did you want that in King James?" That's just how I memorized it years ago. You know how it is when you memorize a verse in a certain version of scripture. And most scriptures I've memorized in New American Standard, but there are a few I've memorized in King James. That's one of them. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ." The problem that was demonstrated in Numbers chapter 13 would have been resolved if they had cast down the wrong thoughts and if they had learned to use their imagination the right way. We're talking about imagination tonight. Oh, some 50 years ago, back 1973, I remember listening back in the world, Miss Gladys Knight, she had a big hit record, number one on the Billboard charts, big hit record, "I've Got to Use My Imagination." But when you go back and read the words of that song that that Gladys Knight wrote, "I've Got to Use My Imagination," it seems it was all for a negative purpose. Gladys Knight says in that song, this was a number one hit, a million seller, sold a million copies, Billboard's number one song, I've really got to use my imagination. Listen to the rest of the words. To think of good reasons to keep on keeping on. Got to make the best of a bad situation. Ever since that day, I woke up and found that you were gone. Darkness all around me, backing out the sun. Old friends call me, but I just don't feel like talking to anyone. I've got to use my imagination. Well, that doesn't look like her imagination was working too well on that song. That was 1973. But if we go back even further, the Temptations back there were listening in the world. They had a big hit record, 1971. Again, number one on Billboard's Music Top 100 chart. And their song was, It Was Just My Imagination Running Away With Me. Anybody remember that song back in the world? And that song was a big hit for the Temptations. It sounds like this. The words go like this. Each day through my window, I watch her as she passes by. I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy. To have a girl like her is truly a dream come true. Out of all the fellas in the world, she belongs to me. But it was just my imagination running away with me. It was just my imagination. He goes on to say, soon we'll be married and raise a family. Oh, yeah. Have a cozy little home out in the country. I can still hear Eddie Kendrick singing the lead. I won't try that. But anyway, have a cozy little home out in the country with two children, maybe three. I tell you, I can visualize it all. This couldn't be a dream, for too real it all seems. But it was just my imagination once again running away with me. He doesn't get the girl. And finally, 1971, there was another big hit, this time by John Lennon. Another song about the imagination. And no doubt you've heard it, the song Imagine. The song Imagine is the one I want to focus on just for a moment, because that song is the focus of this time of year when New Year's rolls around. That song is sung over and over again. And many of you would have heard this song sung just the other day. In fact, oftentimes, as a matter of tradition here in our country, many places, just before the singing of Auld Lang Syne, the song Imagine is sung. And this year TV, there was K.T. Tunstall, and she sang it this year, and last year it was someone else, and the year before someone else. They're all singing that song by John Lennon. It was a big hit for him called Imagine. The song says this, in essence, imagine there's no heaven. It's not easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of men. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. And so every year we hear this song and someone comes to sing it. And in the case of Miss Gladys Knight, that's a glorified, her song about imagination was a glorified denial of a problem. And you'll never get through 2022, as new as the year is, if you simply deny that you have a problem when you actually have a problem. Some people, the way they deal with problems is they simply try to go, they go into ostrich mode. They put their head in the sand and they just say, I'm going to deny I have a problem. But denying you have a problem will not get rid of that problem in 2022. In the case of the Temptations hit record, it was just my imagination running away with me. That's a meaningless dream and a fantasy that never could come true. In the case of John Lennon's hit record, Imagine, they're trying to imagine a world without God. But in reality, there is a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And people will go into that place if they ignore that there's a heaven to gain. And there's only one way to get there, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that, listen, there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. There's only one way to heaven, and his name is, I wish I had an amen tonight. There's only one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus. And someone can imagine all they want that there's no heaven, but you better be imagining what the Bible says about heaven and the reality of heaven. Heaven is a real place. And Jesus said, I've gone there to prepare a place for you. And I tell you, we better use our imaginations the right way. Imagination can be used the right way and imagination can be used the wrong way. Over in Genesis chapter 11, you remember the story about the Tower of Babel, a group of people who essentially were rebellious toward God, and they decided they were going to get to heaven their own way. They were going to ignore God's plan. They were going to ignore God's directives, and they decided to build a tower into heaven and build a city. And the Bible says God came down, examined all that they were doing. They had one language. They were unified. And God said, nothing that they've imagined will be kept from them. And he confused their languages because their motives were so wrong and their motives were so ungodly. They were trying to get to heaven their own way. You'll never get to heaven your own way. You've got to come the way that God has prepared. God gave his son for you and I. And his son is the only way we're going to get to heaven. And there is no other way. Glory to God. Jesus is the way. He's the truth and the life. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that he saved you tonight if you're born again? Aren't you glad about it? Aren't you glad that the reality of heaven dwells on the inside of you? And so the Bible has a lot to say about the power and the importance of imagination. Imagination can be a source of blessing and provision in our lives, or imagination can be a source of great struggle and bondage and stronghold. And let me tell you this, without good imagination, you'll never develop strong Bible faith. But without casting down bad imagination, the enemy will keep you from receiving from God in some critical area of your life. You'll be bound by worry, by fear, by discouragement, by doubt, by phobia. Some people are bound by pornography because of imagination. Do you know that just one wrong thought that you dwell on long enough can destroy your whole 2022? One wrong thought. And you will self-sabotage. You will self-sabotage every single success that God's trying to bring to you if you dwell on the wrong thoughts. Psychologists, sociologists tell us this. It takes nine affirming or positive thoughts to cancel out, for the average person, to cancel out the effects of one negative thought. Think about that. It takes nine positive thoughts to cancel out the effect of just one negative thought. That's why we better be careful what we say. We better be careful. You know, Pastor Craig was talking about being positive in the world and having a positive mentality in the world. And that's so important that we remain positive. But so often, that's why, you know, you see some, maybe this has happened to you. You've been on Facebook or on some form of social media, and maybe you got 100 comments of somebody who liked something that you said. And then maybe one person said something negative about what you said. And so often people will take the time and dwell on that one negative thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so we have to be careful because the real key to success lies in our ability to see clearly. And our success tonight depends upon our ability to see. And Satan's job is to get you and I, to get us with our eyes on ourselves, to get us discouraged, to get us defeated, to get us discontented. He doesn't care how we do that. But if you do that, you'll get your eyes on you and you'll get your eyes on your failures and you won't be able to receive what God has for you. The Bible describes this process happening to a man in Israel who happened to be their king. And he had a strong imagination, but he used it for the wrong purpose. And you might recall his name, King Saul. And King Saul after David's mighty conquest of the giant, they were going in a victory parade. And the Bible says about King Saul in 1 Samuel 18. Look at 1 Samuel 18 with me. 1 Samuel 18, starting at verse 5. 1 Samuel 18, verse 5. To be successful in any area of life for Jesus Christ, we're going to have to change the way we think. And no doubt, David, when he slayed Goliath, I'll guarantee you he had an imagination that was thinking the right thoughts. See, that's why he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He asked several times, what's the king going to do for the man who defeats this giant? David was using his imagination in the right way. There is a good way to use our imagination, which will build our faith, which will build strong Bible faith. And there's a bad way to use an imagination. And I'm convinced the Lord sent me tonight to warn you against this bad way of using imagination. King Saul, the king of Israel, he used his imagination in a bad way and spiraled out of control. We're in 1 Samuel 18, verse 5. And David went into the battle wherever Saul sent him and always achieved success. So Saul put him in charge of the men of war. And it was displeasing in the sight of all the people. It was pleasing in the sight of all the people. And also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it happened, as they were coming, David returned from killing the Philistine, that the women came out, all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with joy, and with other musical instruments. The women sang as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul became very angry, for this lyric displeased him. And he said, they have given David credit for 10,000s, but to me they've given credit for only thousands. And now what more can he have but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David with suspicion from that day on. A terrible way to use his imagination. Led him to be suspect of someone who was really one of the most loyal people to him. Saul wasted hour after hour being dominated by a wrong thought. And instead of casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, he entertained the wrong thought. And he heard them singing that song. And he started thinking about, I'm sure, the Billboard Top 100. And I'm sure he said, if the Temps can get on there and if Gladys Knight can get on there and John Lennon's on there. And he said, this song is on the Billboard Top 100. But he said, the lyrics are bothering me. David has slain his 10,000s, Saul his thousands. Why did that bother him so much? That shouldn't have bothered him at all. First of all, he was the king of Israel. He could have fought the giant. He chose not to fight. David chose to go and fight, and so everything was in his favor. He really should have had the thought, hey, I've got a loyal soldier next to me. He's loyal and everything's all right. I didn't want to fight the giant. He did fight the giant. He beat the giant. Everything's good. Lord, you made a way. You made a way when there was no way. We defeated the giant. We defeated the giant. His thoughts should have been positive. But instead, he listened to the lyrics of one song. And he let one line mess him up. And he kept thinking about that and thinking about that and thinking about that and thinking about that until he spiraled out of control. And let me tell you this, my friend, your body will always follow your mind. A brother won't get an amen teaching like that. Wherever your mind is, your body will always end up where your mind is. And if Saul had cast that thought down, everything would have been all right. But he refused to cast down the wrong thoughts. And what am I telling you? In 2022, if you're going to be successful in the things that the Lord has for you, and I know as Pastor Craig, if you didn't hear that message today, you need to get it. Exceedingly abundantly above, God's got something great for you this year. But you need to hear his whole message. But if you don't learn how to cast down the wrong thoughts, you'll never get there. Because there's a hindrance, there's an obstacle, there's a person standing between you and your blessing, but the person standing between you and your blessing is already a defeated foe. Jesus already whipped him. But we'll have to enforce what Jesus did by taking control of our mind. Peter said it this way, 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind. We can't just allow anything to run free in our mind. And when King Saul did that, he sabotaged his own future. It wasn't long before he wasn't hearing from God like he used to. And in those days, it was the prophet, it was the king, it was the priest. They always heard from God. Someone, one of the three of them, always had a word from the Lord. But he started dwelling on the wrong thoughts, and he got his eyes off of the Lord, and he spiraled so far out of control, he couldn't hear from God. And it wasn't long, he was running over to the devil's camp trying to hear from God. He was running over to the witches of Endor trying to get a message from God. Think about that, going to the devil to get a message from God. Satan doesn't have any message from God for you. Don't spend any time trying to listen to the devil, trying to get a message from God from you. Satan ain't got no message for you. So that rules out your horoscope, your Ouija boards, all kind of whatever us people try to do today to try to hear from God. You better go to the Word. Hey, God will speak to you through His Word and through the power of His Holy Spirit. And so Saul spiraled out of control, sabotaged his future. He disqualified himself. But take Joshua on the other hand. Joshua coming to the kingdom, and when God shows up and God tells Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, God tells him, they're waiting for Moses to come back. Moses went up on Mount Nebo, Moses didn't come back. And Joshua's been his faithful servant since he was a youth. Joshua has served Moses so faithfully. And so many times Moses has been up there on the mountain meeting with God. Moses has been away for a duration. Joshua was faithfully waiting on him. But this time God shows up. It's not Moses who comes through the door, it's God. And God says, my servant Moses is dead, and I want you to lead this people. And Joshua is trembling. Now, we read his account in Numbers 13. When Moses had sent Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 spies, 12 spies total, Moses had sent them out to spy out the land. And when they all got back, they were unison in their report of the land. That is, they all described the land as just like God said. Everything that God promised is true. They said the land is flowing with milk and honey. They said we bought back the fruit of the land. But the 10 used their imagination the wrong way. And they said, oh, but not only did we see the fruit, not only did we see the milk and honey, not only did we see the olive trees, not only did we see the fertility of the land, not only did we see that everything that God said, every promise in the book is ours. We saw the enemy. We saw the sons of Anak. We saw the giants. We saw our problems. And they said, they're strong. They're strong. They're so strong. They're so strong. Oh, we're not going to be able to take what God said. We're not going to be able to get what God said. It's true. What God promised us is true, but we're not strong enough to get it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. If you and I are going to be successful in this new year, we're going to have to learn how to cast down the wrong thoughts. You walked into the room and people stopped talking. You immediately said, they're talking about me. I know they're talking about me. Yes, they are. They're always doing that. They're talking about me. You're going to have to cast down the wrong thoughts. Amen. You saw your boss the other day and then you started saying, well, she don't like me. She don't like me. He don't like me. They got something against me. They're trying to fire me. They're trying to fire me. You're going to have to cast down the wrong imaginations. You misinterpreted what your wife said. You misinterpreted what hubby said. You misinterpreted what one of the kids said. You're following off their wild imaginations, and you're going to have to cast down imaginations if you're going to be successful. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen here. Somebody said, Brother Bill, can you give us something to jump and shout on? If you'll cast down these imaginations, you'll have the wrong imaginations. You'll have something to jump and shout on. He told Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. And it's time for you to lead Israel. And it was an inopportune time. You know why? Because the Jordan River had crested. When God called Joshua, the Jordan, when you read Joshua chapter 4, the Jordan River had reached its highest point, flood stage, the highest point all year. God waited for the river to get to flood stage and then said, now go cross. Isn't that something? And Joshua was nervous. Joshua was worried because three times in chapter 1, God tells him, be strong, be courageous. Just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to fail you. Every promise in the book is yours. I'm going to see you through to the victory. And you know what he told Joshua? He said, you're going to have to meditate on this book of the law. It shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you'll be careful to do according to what's written in it. He said, Joshua, if you're going to be successful, you're going to have to learn how to get my word inside of you and use your imagination the right way. When it was time to cross the river and get into the water, God said, get into the water. Joshua had seen 40 years ago when Moses held up a rod, the Red Sea parted. They walked across on dry land. Joshua had already seen that. He was waiting for God to do that. And God said, uh-uh. You already seen that. It doesn't take any faith for you to see that. You saw that 40 years ago. Moses raised the rod, I parted the sea. God said, this time all the priests are going to get in the water in flood stage. Listen, everybody's going to get in that water. And when the last foot of the priest gets in that water, then I'll part it. And they had to step out by faith. They had to act on what God was telling them. They had to put boots on the ground, feet in the water, toes in the mud. And when they obeyed God, God parted that water. And then they came across to the most fortified city that there was, the cities that the 10 spies talked about. The cities are fortified. There's no way we can take it. And when Joshua got there, he listened to the word of the Lord, and the Lord told him, go around that city, put the praisers out front. Go around that city one time for 6 days, praising me. And on the seventh day, go around 7 times and then shout the victory. And Joshua acted on the word of the Lord, and you know the rest of the story. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And so the wrong imagination might be keeping you from experiencing the blessing of God, just like the children of Israel. They missed their blessing for 40 years because they didn't learn how to use their imagination the right way. The Bible says it was impossible for them to enter into his rest because they never took control of their imagination. You're going to have to begin, you and I, to see ourselves with what God promised. Whatever God promised you, my brother and sister, you can have it if you can see yourself with it. If you can get his word in your heart and his word coming out of your mouth. You might be defeated. You might feel weak. You might be broke or sick. But your victory is going to depend on your ability and your spirit-filled imagination to see yourself with the promises of God. Somebody needs a car, but you're going to have to be able to see yourself. You're going to have to be able to take God's promise and see yourself in the reality of that. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Somebody said, I'm not feeling well in my body tonight. You're going to have to take God's word. Go get Matthew 8:17. Get Isaiah 53. Go get 1 Peter 2:24. Go get the host of scriptures about healing, and get those scriptures. You're going to have to see yourself with the reality of what God's promised. And when you can use your imagination and see yourself with what God promised, when you can see yourself so strongly with what God promised, there's nothing, no devil in hell, there's no circumstance that will keep it from coming to pass. Without good imagination, you'll never develop strong Bible faith, because as things come to us from God, they come out of that realm of the spirit. This natural earth realm was created out of that realm. And so you could say it this way and be accurate. The realm of the spirit is more real than this natural realm, because God spoke from that realm and created this realm. And so in 2022, your life will go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts from 2021. And that's why if something's going to change in your life, you're going to have to be able to imagine a different situation around you based upon what God has said to you and based upon what he has said in his word. And the word is the only book in the world that can change imagination. Listen to me. The word's the only book in the world that can change imagination into reality. You may be broke, as I say, but through the promises of God, you can imagine a future filled with plenty and overflow, where every need is met and where you have a full supply and you don't have to live paycheck to paycheck, but you're going to have to imagine the promises of God coming true in your life. And whatever it is, I want to close this sermon with these last 3 points to you quickly. Number one, listen, if you're going to develop strong imagination, if you're going to use your imagination in the right way, if you're going to develop strong Bible faith using your imagination, number one, listen, change your meditation. Meditate on the right things. Be consistent with what God's promised you in your word, in His word. And allow your music and your movies to be consistent with a godly imagination in your mind. Renew your mind regularly with God's word. And imagine Joshua 1:8, where God told Joshua, meditate in the word day and night. Psalm 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think continually, amplified version, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them. Implant them in your heart to receive from God. You're going to have to change your meditation. Secondly, listen, you're going to have to change your determination. Refuse to accept anything less than what God has promised you. Cast down the wrong imaginations, anything contrary to the word. Satan may be trying to scare you or intimidate you, but let me tell you, if you'll imagine yourself walking in the promises of God, you'll resist him and keep him under your feet as Jesus has put him. You have to be able to forget negative things right away. Over the holidays, I watched Tiger Woods, his son, play golf. And his son is like 12 years old, and he's a phenomenal golfer. And during the broadcast, while they were watching, he's 12 years old. He was the youngest kid there, and he's just hitting phenomenal shots. And one of the announcers said that this is what Tiger has taught him about hitting bad shots. He quoted Tiger. He said, Tiger said this to him, son, I don't care how mad you get. Your head could blow off for all I care. Just as long as you're 100% committed to the next shot. The next shot should be the most important shot in your life. Does that say something about how he hits golf shots? He's able to forget the bad ones, get them out of the way, and go on to the next one. Whatever went wrong in your life, you're going to have to forget the bad ones and go on to the next one. The next shot is the most important one in your life. He said, Tiger went on to tell his son, that next shot is more important than breathing. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a righteous person falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of disaster. You've made a mistake. Something didn't work out right. God can fix that for you. But you're going to have to leave that in the past and be willing to go forward into a new day. Change your meditation, change your determination, finally change your imagination by acting on the word, acting on the word. Your imagination won't work effectively with the promises of God until you act on the word. When you act upon the word using your imagination, and as I say, learn to see yourself acting upon the word. Whatever it is that you need from God, if you'll see and cling to the promises of his word and see yourself with what he's promised. Someone said, well, I need a job. You need to see yourself. You need to get the promises of God on the inside of you. And then you need to see in your own imagination. Don't see yourself without a job. See yourself with a job. See yourself with a good paying job. So someone came to me, a student came to me this year and said, well, I think, you know, things aren't going good on my job. They've done this to me and that to me. And I've got a problem with what they've done. And I just think I'm going to, I feel like quitting. And so just wanted to get your thoughts. I said, don't quit. Don't leave on those terms. Get the word on the inside of you. God wants to give you favor. See yourself with the favor of God. Do everything you can to be a good employee. Show up on time. Work as hard as you can. Work as unto the Lord. Don't see them mad at you, not liking you. Give your best effort always, and then see the favor of God on you. Don't quit. I didn't hear from her. The semester changed and I didn't hear from her for a while. But about 6 months later, she was in another class that I had. And she said, I never told you what happened after we talked. And I said, what happened? She said, I was all ready to quit. And she said, then I talked with you and I got encouraged about the word, seeing myself differently. And she said, instead of I thought they were going to terminate me. She said, I thought I was at the point of termination when I talked to you. She said, instead of terminating me, she said, they called me in and gave me a $10,000 raise. Yeah. She said, I learned to see myself differently. I learned to see the favor of God upon me. And if you'll do that, whatever the problem is, God will help you. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Make every thought obey Jesus Christ. And then on the other side, let your imagination flow with the word. Let your imagination envision all that God has for you. See yourself so strongly with it. I'll close with this. It's past Christmas. I bought my grandson one of those Oculus, what do you call that thing? Virtual reality thing where you put on the headset and you have the little prongs in there. And first of all, the first problem I had is I had JP set the thing up so I could wrap it. We charged it up. I had JP set. Then I couldn't get him. I said, get that thing off. I got to wrap it. And he was, he's got that headset on, you know. I said, get that thing off, JP. I finally got him out of it. But grandson came over and I gave him that and he got on a roller coaster, a virtual reality roller coaster. We were watching him. Through virtual reality, they take your imagination to a place it's never been. But there's nothing like the Word of God. There's no Oculus, there's no virtual reality that can even compare to the Word. And when we meditate this book, God will take you there ahead of His promise, and you'll receive everything He has for you. Let's pray. Father, we've done our best in this time to share on the power of a godly imagination. And Father, in this year, we know You have many, many blessings for us. And the word we heard this morning, Pastor Craig, and Father, we just thank You that You've got good things in store. And we want to cooperate with You. And we want to line up our godly imagination so that we can receive and see ourselves walking in the light of everything You've promised. And then casting down wrong imaginations. Things, fiery darts of the enemy, casting them down. And then walking in a new light, a new day. And so we thank You for helping Your people. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed. If you're here tonight, you need something from God. If you need to just surrender yourself to the Lord and repent of your sins. If you need to just give your life to Jesus or rededicate your life to God. If you'll mean business with Him, He'll mean business with you. And if you'll show God that you're sincere and that you're real, if God's speaking to you, if you'll acknowledge Him now, and if you'll show Him that you're serious, He'll show you His power of love and forgiveness. With every head bowed, anybody here, just lift your hand so I can pray for you. I want to pray for you. You either need Christ in your life or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Anybody here like that? I need Jesus. I know I need Christ. Or I've received Christ, but I know I'm not walking with Him. Anybody here like that? We'll pray for you. Or you might be here tonight and you say, hey, I need prayer. I've got some other things. Is that your hand? I see your hand. Amen. 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 If you're watching, you may feel that way as well. I need Christ. I need to rededicate my life to Jesus. Anybody else here? You say, I need Jesus in my life, or I need to rededicate my life to Jesus. I don't want to start this year off wrong, the wrong imaginations. I want to show God that I'm real, that I'm sincere. I want you to do something for me. I want to pray for you, but I want you to come down here so I can pray for you. Don't be embarrassed at all. If you lifted your hand, or you should have lifted your hand, just get right up boldly. Come right down here and let me pray for you. I'm going to do just what I said. I'm going to pray for you. That's right. Come right on down here. And as He's coming, there may be somebody else here, and you realize, you know what? I need to be down there too. God bless you, man. Thank you for coming down. Praise God. Just come right on down here. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. God loves you. God loves you, and He wants to help you. He's trying to get something to you in this new year. Don't sit down there and resist Him when you know that God's moving on your heart. You know God's speaking to you. God bless you. Thank you for coming. God bless you. You know God is speaking to you. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him. I'll have fellowship with him. Anybody else? The altar's still open. There's room for you. God, I want you to, God loves you so much. And if you'll get off your seat and show God you mean business, you sense him moving. You sense that's the Holy Spirit. And if you'll not resist him, if you'll come on down here, there's still room for you. Come on down here. God wants to help you. And you're going to have such a blessed year. You're going to have the greatest year of your life. But you're going to have to act and step out. Those of you who've come down here, I thank you for coming down in obedience to God. And I want you to know God's got something so good for you. And you're going to never regret taking that step of faith, that step of obedience. And I just want you to lift one hand to the Lord if you can. If you can lift your hands together, that's okay. Whatever you want to do, lift a hand to the Lord. That's just your way of saying, God, I'm coming to you. I'm not coming to a man, I'm coming to you. And I just want you to say this prayer out loud. We're all going to say it just to help you. You just say this prayer out loud after me. Father, I come in the name of Jesus, and I give you my heart. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. Wash me in the blood. I'm your child now, and I'll follow you and do whatever you're telling me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I know that's a simple prayer, but the power of the Holy Ghost is in that prayer, and God has answered your prayer. And I want you, Brother Paul, what should we do? This is Reverend Paul here, and I want you to go with him. He's going to give you some free materials. Is that okay? He wants to answer any question. There'll be some other people to help you, give you some free materials. And if you'll go with Reverend Paul now, he's going to help you. Just go right with him. He's going to give you some free materials and make sure you get everything you came for. Just go right with him. That's okay. Go right with him. Praise God. Our prayer room worker, stay down. I say yes. Go ahead. You two, go ahead. Yes, yes. I see what you're doing. Don't you appreciate it? Yes, let's give all of them a big hand. Praise God. Let's pray for them too. Father, we thank you for all these going to the prayer room now, and we thank you that your mighty power will fall upon them, that they'll receive everything that they came for. We thank you for your protection, for your provision, that they'll understand everything that you've provided for them through the power of God. And in the name of Jesus, amen. My friend, if you need something else from the Lord, we want you to come forward. We still have prayer room workers down here. And what are they there for? To pray with you. They'll agree with you and they'll help you and pray for you. And you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. So as we dismiss in a moment, just come on forward. Guys, just come to the guys. Ladies, just come to the ladies. And you have something you want them to pray with, just come to the lady. That's Kay over there, precious Kay. And she'll pray with any of you ladies. And guys, come over here to the guys. And if all hearts and minds are clear, anything else, then you be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Did we have any first-time guests? They're already taken care of. All right, well, thank you for being here tonight. God bless you one and all. You are dismissed.